السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم تر أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ما يكون من نجوى ثلاثة إلا هو رابعهم ولا خمسة إلا هو سادسهم ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر إلا هو معهم أينما كانوا ثم ينبئهم بما عملوا يوم القيامة إن الله بكل شيء عليم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, our sisters, listening over receivers, I do not have any intention of discussing the tafsir of this ayat, but it seems to be linked to what we were discussing yesterday. So let us first go back to what we were discussing yesterday and complete. Then we will proceed, inshallah, if time permits. Yesterday we were discussing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his time, he also had his majalis, meaning a congregation in front of him, to whom he was addressing, conveying to them the ayat of the Quran Sharif which were being revealed, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explaining those ayat which we call tafsir, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's explanation becoming a hadith, and his audience was an audience whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declared in the Quran Sharif, radiyallahu anhum wa radhu an. Since we have a new audience today, so therefore, just to highlight one or two points from yesterday's talk, that what I was discussing is that those companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam were the only ones who received that certificate, who received that guarantee that Jannat is for them, because whomsoever Allah Ta'ala is pleased with, so then there is Jannat for that person. If they had some shortcomings, if they made some mistakes, they just came into Islam, some mistakes, if they made to the kind of tawbah that they made, that Allah Ta'ala forgave them. Allah Ta'ala seized them also very, very quickly, because they were very close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So they made one little mistake in the battle of Uhud, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had stationed the 12 people on the mountain and said they must not move under any condition. Whatever happens, whether the Muslims are victorious or they are defeated or whatever it may be, but they must not leave that place. He had stationed a number of people there on the mountain. However, when the Muslims were getting victory, the only 12 remained on the mountain, the others came way down, because they had a slight difference of opinion. They felt that that restriction was so that, or it was until the Muslims are not victorious. But now that they are victorious and they're gathering the war booty, so therefore we too can go down now and gather the war booty. Now this was just an error of judgment. They did not intentionally disobey Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but because they were Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhu wajma'een, so Allah Ta'ala seized them quickly and things turned around. It's a whole long history in the battle of Uhud. But without going into the details of that, then look at the losses that they suffered. The 70 Sahabas of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lost their lives. and amongst them great, great Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. But then again Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgave them. Allah ta'ala again gave them victory. And those who lost their lives also became shaheed. Now again a great status. Shahadat is a great status. And Allah ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. So now these four categories. My Shaykh Shah Kimo, Dr. Savdam al-Barakatum, he says, Allah Ta'ala mentioned these four categories, and there must be some shuhada also. How can be that Allah Ta'ala mentions a category, and then there's no existence of that category? It can't happen. If there is a mention of shuhada, then there must be some shuhada. Some people are going to be martyred. And this martyrdom is a very great ni'mat and blessing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself desired martyrdom. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had mentioned, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. So therefore Allah ta'ala gave him protection from the people. The Jewish woman that tried to give him poison, she added poison in his food in Khaybar. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he took one by put into his mouth, and he was informed by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. But they say the effect of that remained till his passing away. So there were different attempts on the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam throughout his life. Look at how much of attempts were made on his life. On one occasion, Abu Jahl in Makkah Sharif, we know that he was the arch enemy of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And how much of plotting and planning he did to have Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam assassinated or eliminated, whatever word you want to use. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given protection to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. On one occasion, this same Abu Jahl, he pretends that he is sick. Now this, I'm going in some different direction. Allah ta'ala knows where the mazmoon will go. He pretended that he was sick. So what he did, outside his house, he put one bed of his and he dug one trench. And there he filled it up with some kind of sawdust or whatever it may be. Just gave a false covering. And he knew very well that even if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I am his arch enemy, but if he comes to know that I am sick, he will come to visit me. So he, when he's going to come, then he's going to fall into this ditch. So he will hurt himself or get killed. Or after that he will attack him, whatever planning was there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes right up to the edge of that ditch that he had dug, the hole that he had dug. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informs him that this is what this person has planned to do. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turns around, going back. Now in that excitement that he's losing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he jumped for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Muarrikheen have written that he fell into that ditch himself. When you dig a hole for someone, they say you fall into it yourself. So he fell into it himself. Now that Nabi of Allah, whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had sent as Rahmatul Lil Alameen, mercy unto the worlds, mercy for the young, mercy for the old, mercy for the black, mercy for the white, mercy for the weak, mercy for the strong, mercy for the Muslims, mercy for the non-Muslims, mercy for the creatures, mercy for the insects, mercy for the animals, mercy for all the worlds. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent him Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Look at his rahmat. He thought that this Abu Jahl was really sick. So therefore he came to see him. So what anybody else would have done? Any other person, what would he have done? He would have said, nice, now that he is there, let me throw a few stones on his head. And that sand that must have been around there, let us bury him now. At least now we got him. He would have been extremely happy doing that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, no question of revenge for himself, nothing. Because this was personal thing. This enmity now, here if he took revenge, it would have been as if it was for himself. So that Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now extends a hand to him like that and pulls him out of that ditch. Still that compassion and kindness did not stir the heart of this Abu Jahl. And he continued with his enmity. But yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what he did. Teaching akhlaq, which I have been speaking on from the first day of Ramadan, that with akhlaq you win even your enemies. And if we don't have good akhlaq, then those who are your friends also will become enemies. Akhlaq se aadmi apne dushman ko bhi dost bana deta hai. Bad akhlaqi se apne dost ko bhi wo dushman bana deta hai. The wrong usage of our tongue, the wrong usage of our hands, our feet, our mind, our wealth, and the person can become an enemy who was once a friend. And this is a weakness of ours, that we don't make an effort on our akhlaq. To bring tawazu into our lives, to bring shukr into our lives, to bring sabr, to bring taqwa in our lives. Now, these were the things which we should have been making an effort to bring into our lives. And whosoever adopts tawazu, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Wa man takabbara wada'ahu Allah. The person who will humble himself, and humbling himself, I mentioned many times, does not mean the person just bows down in the head and makes salam, that's all. But inside his heart, he's got a lot of kibr and pride that I am somebody. The person has to annihilate himself. Therefore, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, on one occasion in Hajj, when there were a number of Sufia that had gathered around him, and he was the youngest amongst them, and at that time they started discussing about the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. So at that time, people were giving their own views. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi was the youngest, he kept silent. And afterwards he said, it's a detailed thing which I discussed some other time also, but one of the points that he mentioned in there, that who is a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? It is that person who annihilates himself. Jo apne nafs ko fana kar de. That annihilation is a thing that does not come into our lives easily. It will only come when the azmat of Allah ta'ala will come into our hearts, then tawazu will come, and that is the sifat of the heart. Tawazu is a sifat of the heart. It is not just outward action. When that sifat is in the heart, then outwardly also the person will behave with tawazu and with humility. Because he will have the azmat of Allah Ta'ala. Most of the time that we get worked up is because we haven't annihilated our nafs. Places where we should not be losing ourselves and losing our tempers, or where we should be forgiving and overlooking, there that taqaza to take revenge, and we must take revenge, that is a sign that there is no tawazu. But the person who wants Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to forgive him, so then he will be ever ready to forgive. As we discussed at length in the incident of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that there was a scandal going round, the munafiqeen with promoting this false rumor. There was slander campaign against the beautiful, beloved wife of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, na masjid, na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah, madina, agar Muhammad na hote, to kuch bhi na hota, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's verses upon verses were being revealed upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, it is stated that in his entire lifetime, he came about 24,000 times to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, by someone he came 4 times, someone 10 times, someone 50 times. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam 24,000 times. So could not Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have sent some verses down immediately that the slander began? But there was great wisdom and hikmah. But here we are shown that kind of patience and tolerance that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam exercised. And look at his humility, and look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's tawakkul in Allah ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam standing for that which is just and fair. That until the wahi did not come down, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going through a very, very difficult test, and his wife was going through even more difficult test. But yet Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, who was helping Mistah, who was his cousin, and that cousin was also party to this slander. So when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the verses, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَاتِ أَن يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, yes, 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 I want Allah ta'ala to forgive me. So therefore he not only forgave, but he even doubled whatever he was giving as assistance and help. That is tawazu. It's a sifat of the heart that immediately humbled himself, finished, no question of revenge, although here he was entitled to seek revenge. He could have asked for hadd-e qazaf and so many other things. But tawazu in the heart. So did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala disgrace him? Did Allah ta'ala humiliate him? After 1400 years we are sitting here. This incident took place when? And today we are discussing, and what we are saying? That look at the greatness of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. What kind of heart he must have had to not only forgive but to double up that assistance to somebody who was slandering the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr, and who was the daughter married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ummahatul Mu'mineen. What kind of heart he must have had. We just read it. Somebody just tells us one word and finish, our temperature rises so high. So here all the kind of slander, but yet look at this, like a rock, granite of patience. So sabr, shukr, zuhd, qanaat, taqwa, all these are sifat of the heart. And that is what this effort is all about. To bring these attributes and to bring these characteristics and to bring these qualities, because that is the sifat of the mu'min and the true believer. Kamil mu'min. And all the promises that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made in the Quran Sharif, wherever we come across promises to the mu'min, those promises are to the kamil mu'min, otherwise we'll get doubts in our minds. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. So you will be the one dominant if you are a mu'min. But when there's kamil iman, if there's kamil iman, like that many other places Allah ta'ala has made promises. Now we just make one namaz and that to know khushu khuzu, and we say we are kamil mu'min. Where is all that help that Allah ta'ala has promised? I discussed this, that whatever is coming into my mind I will repeat, must be beneficial for somebody or the other. That this is a doubt which comes into the minds of many a people. That when so many people are making dua in the Haram Sharif, in Madina Sharif, around the world, and look at the month of Ramadan, which masjid is no duas, and which dua is not being made in the Haram Sharif. Every day after witr namaz and other time, look at the amount of dua that is made. Then why are the Muslims still not getting any kind of ghalba and dominance? Why are they still suffering? So there's one example that I gave many times, and as I said, that nothing is planned. Whatever comes at that moment in time, then I will repeat. So that example is that of a father whose son has become disobedient. Now the whole world is telling the father that why don't you forgive your son? After all, he's your son, forgive him. So the father says, I've got absolutely no problem with forgiving him. I dearly love forgiveness. And he's my son also, I'll forgive him. But the only thing, you go and tell my son that to tell me I'm sorry, that's all, nothing else. Go and tell that son of mine, who I chased out, that he must tell me I'm sorry. Now the people go to the son and they say, just tell your father I'm sorry, and he'll give you again everything. Your father has got a lot of wealth, he's got properties, he's got mansions, he's got cars, he's got so much of things, so he won't write you off the will, he'll leave behind for you. So just go and tell him sorry. So this son, in his arrogance and pride, he says, why should I say sorry? I also got car, I also got home, I also got degrees and qualifications, I also got this, I also got that. So will that father ever forgive him? He may give him another two slaps if he sees him. Just by way of example, this is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He is so forgiving, so merciful, so kind. His treasures are unlimited and Allah Ta'ala wants to give. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to give. For whom else has He got those treasures? Is Allah Ta'ala going to benefit in any way from all that has been created in Jannat? And in this world also, the gold, the silver, the uranium, the platinum, the diamonds and the rubies and the pearls and everything else that Allah Ta'ala has created, will it be of any benefit to him? Is Allah Ta'ala going to build up some mansions with all that? Or Allah Ta'ala is going to make some jewelry? Or he's going to mint some Kruger Rands for himself? Nauzubillah. It is for human beings, it is for mankind, and in reality it is for the Muslims and for the believers. It's not that Allah Ta'ala does not want the believers to enjoy the good things of this world. That is a misunderstanding. This dunya, I've explained many times when we say ad-dunya sijnul mu'min, that it is a prison for the believers and jannat for the kuffar, then it does not mean prison in the sense that we understand prison. By explanation, I said that in prison what happens is that there's everything controlled, monitored, disciplined. A person does not have the right to just get up whenever he wants and eat when he wishes to and eat whatever he wishes to. He can't say that I was really, really accustomed to the home food, which was all delicious, mutton, chicken, fish, this, that. And I used to have so much of takeaway foods too. So therefore in prison also I must get that every day. They will give him whatever food they have got for prisoners. The dressing also, he say, I used to wear, as I always say, time to shine suits, three-piece. And my shoes also from Italy, all those things. I'm in prison also, I must have all that. So can he do that? Everything is regulated. Like that, the Muslim's life is regulated. Get up at a certain time and make Fajr Namaz. Get certain time, make Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Times are fixed when you must make Salah. Month of Ramadan, come keep fast. If you have so much money, give Zakat. If you have more than that and you can go for Hajj, then go for Hajj. These are the types of food that you can eat. In a prison, how much of kinds of food can you eat? But look at in this world, how much of kinds of food Allah Ta'ala made halal for the Muslim. So many kinds of food. All kinds of fish of the sea halal. Mutton, chicken, camel meat, buck meat. So can we call that prison? So much of kinds of food halal. But just that, you can eat these foods. Clothing, you can wear these kind of clothing. When it comes to marriage, you can marry certain women. Relationship with women, you can only have with your mahram women. You can talk, you can sit with them and whatever are the masail. Unless of course it is for Islam purposes or something else. But otherwise, there is restrictions. The same goes with all other things, that there are kind of restrictions placed. So that is what we mean, sijnul mu'min. But it doesn't mean that he is completely tied up in chains, or he is not, can't even come out of this house now. The whole world, the Muslim can roam. Can that be a prison? The Muslim, who is a free person, he can go to England, America, Japan, China, all parts of the world. Can you call it prison? So prison there means that the person's life is disciplined and regulated. That is the Muslim. That he does not just roam around like an animal. His gaze, he is told what to look at, what he cannot look at. His tongue, he is told what to speak and what he cannot speak. His listening, what he can listen to and what he can't listen to. No matter how much he is addicted to that music, but he can't listen to it. No matter how much of enjoyment he may get in zina, but he can't go for zina. So that is what we mean regulated. Otherwise, look at the number of things that Allah Ta'ala made halal. Just light-hearted, but it is, they say that this one fish here, they call barracuda. So somebody asked that, how did they name it barracuda? Say, no, one ship came from India those days, the early settlers. So when they came close to Durban shores, they saw one big fish jump. So somebody in the ship said, barracuda. A big one jumped. So somebody caught that fish, so they named it barracuda. It is actually barracuda. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made so much of things halal for us. So this is a sifat of the heart, that is what I am saying. That Allah ta'ala created the world, we make use of the ni'mats, but within the parameters of sharia, we enjoy the ni'mats. And within the heart, we bring shukr, sabr, taqwa, iman, yaqeen, suhat, qanaat. Now these things have to come into the heart. Now we can't go and purchase these things in the bazaars and marketplaces. Let's get back onto track. So we are talking about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He also used to have his majlis. His audience were the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and they were the ones who were promised, guaranteed Jannat, radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Once Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that they have been, that he is pleased with them, they pleased with him, they pleased with him, he is pleased with them, then finish, that's a guarantee of Jannat. Because where there's going to be raza of Allah ta'ala, there cannot be azab. And where there's going to be azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there cannot be raza and pleasure of Allah ta'ala. It will be one of the two things. Now if they are told radiyallahu anhum, can then be azab? Now all those people who criticize the sahabas, make them target of criticism. Allah ta'ala is saying, I'm pleased with them. Therefore my Shaykh Shah Kimud Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says, even on the day of Qiyamah, those people who are told that they will be under the shade of the throne of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the different categories of people, there's no time to go into details now. But different categories of people have been mentioned. It's not only that one hadith sharif of the seven categories. There are so many others also. Now those people who will be given shade under the throne of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is an indication that they are not going to go into Jahannam. Because before the hisab kitab, they will be given shade under the throne of Allah ta'ala, as his ihsan and fazal. The good deeds that they did, can they really say that because of that we deserved it? It is the fazal of Allah ta'ala. But whomsoever he will give, amongst whom is mentioned the sultan who is adil and just. I don't know whether I completed that about the father and son. So now that father is telling that son, or telling the people, tell my son, say I'm sorry and I'll forgive him. But the son is arrogant and he says, why should I ask for forgiveness? So that father is not going to forgive him, irrespective of how much people are going to beg on behalf of that son. So like that, the whole world, the awliya-i kiram, the mashayikh, the ulama-i haqq, the pious, the righteous, and even in hajj and umrahs, everybody is begging for the ummat, ummat, ya Allah, remove the difficulties of the ummat and give them dominance and give them victory. Now when the ummat is told that to get that you must please Allah Ta'ala, the ummat at large now, we're not looking at exceptions, the ummat at large is then told that Allah Ta'ala is prepared to forgive, but you have to please Allah Ta'ala, ask Allah Ta'ala for maaf. So the ummah at large says, why should we ask for maaf? We got enough food to eat, we got house, we got shelter, we got palace, we got this, we got that, why must we ask for maaf? The ummah at large, 70% say, we don't want to make namaz, why should we make namaz? Because we got everything. Or even if they don't have, but there's no namaz. And other dealings, akhlaq, muamlat, muasharat, nothing according to sharia, then will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala just forgive? So I was saying that the different categories which have been promised, shade under the throne of Allah Ta'ala, when they will be under the throne, so that means that now there is no azab for them. They will get into Jannat inshallah without any reckoning. So the different categories that have been mentioned there, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is pleased with those people. Otherwise you won't give them shelter. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's gathering of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, those were people who had been promised Jannah. Now none of us has got that guarantee. Therefore till our dying day we have to continue with the effort and keep on making istighfar and tawbah of our weakness and bring this sifat into our hearts. This tawazu, shukar, taqwa, we have to bring it. And when that will come, then other things will automatically come right. There'll be a manifestation of whatever has come into the heart. That tawazu, which was a sifat of the heart, now this person will behave in an appropriate manner. He will not be proud and arrogant. That shukar, which he has got in his heart, it will manifest itself. That taqwa, which he has got in his heart, so now his eyes will see right, his ears will listen correctly, his tongue will speak correctly. His hands will only touch that which is permissible. His feet will only walk to those places which is permissible. Because now he's got taqwa in the heart. So these are the sifat characteristics. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion addressing that congregation. He was addressing that congregation of the Sahaba-e-Kiram who were all radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. And just at that time, as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came. But Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came in human form, and the hadith sharif which is called hadith Jibreel, and it is the gist, it is the basis, it is the principles are formed on that, the usools of aqaid, of muamlat and everything else, ibadat. So it is reported, بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ is tala alayna rajulun shadidu bayadi siyab shadidu sawadi sha'a la yura alayhi atharu safar wala ya'rifuhu minna ahad hatta jalasa ilan nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa asnada rukbatayhi ila rukbatayhi wa wada kaffayhi ala fakhizayhi ila akhiri al hadith. Now this hadith sharif is such a beautiful hadith sharif. We can go on and on. As I mentioned yesterday, that a discussion took place 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours at night for 3 days, and then we didn't even touch on it in our lessons. But the one point of that hadith sharif for today, of course he came, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting there, and suddenly a person comes, pure white clothes, full white he was dressed in, his hair was pitch black, there was no sign of journey on him, yet nobody recognized him, because they, if somebody had to travel from a long and distant journey and come, so he could have made the person out, dust on his clothes, disheveled hair, that this person has come from a very distant land, now here the person is coming. And those days were not like hotels and everything, you just go and have a shower and change clothes and go there. So nobody even recognized him. He came and sat by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting like that. He came and put his knees against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's knees. And then he put his hands on his own laps. And then he started asking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam questions. First he asked him what is Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained to him, as we all know what is Islam, that the person testifies none worthy of worship but Allah Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is his messenger. Salat 5 times a day, fasting, hajj, zakat, hajj. Now these were the things mentioned when what is Islam. Then iman. Then he asked the question that mal ihsan, that what is ihsan? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, an ta'budallaha ka annaka tara, fa illam takun tarahu fa innahu yara. Now the ulama know this hadith very, very well and all the discussion that takes place, but I mentioned many times that in this majlis don't come for increase of knowledge, come for the kafir. Not from me, but our mashayikh, when they make bayan of this, because they make bayan when they have got hal and haqiqat in them, so then it has an effect and impact. Otherwise we have heard this hadith so many times, it hasn't had that kind of impact on my heart. But this is the reality that Mal Ihsan, when he said, أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَىٰ, and that is what tasawwuf is all about too. That you worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as if you are seeing Allah ta'ala with your own eyes. If a person goes into a supermarket and there's a camera there, and some places it is written there, smile, now you are on camera. So some people think now you must start smiling because they're going to take your photograph and print it somewhere. In reality, when they are telling you that there's a camera, whatever you are picking up and pocketing or uplifting, it's all being videoed. So just because of that camera, so many people who are addicted to stealing, they too, they're careful. If they know there's cameras all around. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, worship Him as if you are seeing Him. Allah ta'ala is watching everything. So it's not only namaz. This is the point I want to get across for today's majlis. We have another 15 minutes. That the main point is this, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching. If you cannot get that degree that you are watching Allah ta'ala, then at least that Allah ta'ala is watching us. Now the person who has got this kind of iman, that I am seeing Allah ta'ala, in whatever the person is doing, whether it is nikah ceremony, whether it is walima, whether it is business deals that he is doing, whether the person is traveling, whether he is in a hotel room, whether there's privacy, there's nobody watching, and he's got all the access to the porn sites and the TVs and the movies, whether the person is in his hometown where everybody knows him, or he's in a city and town or village somewhere where nobody knows him, whether he's on the ground or whether he's in the air, wherever he may be, he says, my Allah is watching. He is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. So then can that person commit sins openly and engage in haram when he also has the azmat of Allah Ta'ala and the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala can pull the carpet from beneath the feet, he can destroy, he can embarrass, he can humiliate, he can disgrace the person, he can have that person, he can ask the earth to open up and swallow everybody that's committing those kind of sins, then will that person then engage in haram? So all those people who say that we cannot come out of this, we cannot come out of that, we're addicted. So how important is this? أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَىٰ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَىٰ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَىٰ. That's all. Prescriptions are very, very simple and easy, as I mentioned this morning in Fajr time, that we keep saying about bringing khushu in salat, that mine is wandering here, mine is wandering there. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what a beautiful prescription he gave. Besides all the other prescription, what prescription can be better than that of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when he says, إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّعِينَ. When you stand for your salat, then make it as if that's your last salat. Whether you make short surah, long surah, whatever it is, but make it as if it's your last salat. You won't get another opportunity. So what kind of tawaz, what kind of haqiqat will then come into that salah? Will the mind then wander if a person knows as soon as I make a salamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then I'm going. Then in fact, even if he was used to reading Surah Ikhlas in all namazes, but that namaz he'll read Surah Baqarah. And then he'll say, I have memorized the Quran Sharif, so another one surah, and another one, and another one, and carry on. And there'll be so much of Ikhlas in there. So whether it is short surah or long surah, but with this, then khushu will come. So like that, this person's life will then become regulated, it will become monitored. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then become pleased with him. It will become easy to come out of all those vice dens and sins and evils, which is restricting our progress. We are just not taking off the ground. Then that person will be able to take off. He will soar to great heights. Until then, we can't go anywhere. Will remain on the ground. Our condition, as you said, is that of that leaf, that the wind picks it up a little bit, then when the wind stops, the leaf goes back on the ground. Again, the wind picks it up, wind stops, leaf back on the ground. Jis jahan mein rahun, jis fiza mein rahun, jis jahan mein rahun, jis fiza mein rahun, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. Wherever I may be, on the ground or in the air, my taqwa must remain salam. So the days are just going by, the nights are going by, the flight of the 21st is gone, the flight of the 23rd is gone, and we haven't even made application still for our passports and visas. But nevertheless, there's no question of losing hope. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. So therefore we should not lose hope also, but at the same time we should not have so much of hope that we don't do anything. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. And the remaining days and nights of Ramadan, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating the days and nights. Whether we are here in the masjid or we are at home or wherever we may be. Don't engage and indulge in any kinds of sins and vices. That of course shouldn't have happened for the whole year. All our lives, but especially in Ramadan. And in this few days and nights that are left, either read Quran Sharif, make tilawat, make zikr, make ibadat, make namaz. Go for a halal livelihood search if you have to, and other activities of life which are necessary. Rest of the time, either engage in ibadat or go and sleep. But stay away from idle gossip, chit-chat. It takes away the noor from the heart. Even at home, do some readings, do some zikr, make some ibadah. Doesn't mean the homes must be left in darkness. And only in the masjid we make ibadah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us with the barakat and the rahmat of this Mubarak month and the entire ummah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate Allah, most beneficent, most merciful Allah. My beloved Allah, we are the most sinful servants of yours on the surface of the earth. There is no one more sinful than us. If you are not going to forgive us, who is there to forgive us? Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Ey Rabbe Kareem, hum bikari ban kar apne haath phailaye hue. We have extended our begging bowls before you, my Allah. Open the doors of your maghfirat for us. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, this guest that you send to us, such an honorable guest, we haven't shown any appreciation. Our days and our nights went by. We were not able to do justice to the Mubarak days and nights. Whatever has gone, we cannot bring back a single second from the time that is gone. Ya Allah, the life that remains, give us the tawfiq. The days that remain of the Mubarak month of Ramadan, give us the tawfiq of appreciation. Give us the tawfiq to guard our eyes from haram, our ears from listening to haram, our tongues from speaking haram, our minds from thinking haram, our hands from touching haram, and our feet walking towards haram. Save us and protect us from earning haram. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. نفس و شیطان دونوں نے مل کر ہائے کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ My beloved Allah those who are sick and ailing give them shifa We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, of envy, of jealousy. My beloved Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mujhko jeene ka sahara chahiye. Gham tumhara dil hamara chahiye. Bahre ulfat ka kinara chahiye. Sar hamara dar tumhara chahiye. Make us yours and become ours. Bless us with the best of dunya and akhirah. My beloved Allah, if you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness because of our sins, where do we go? Where do we go, my Allah? There is no door besides your door that we can tap. Open up the floodgates of your maghfirat for us. Open the floodgates of maghfirat for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Open the floodgates of mercy for us and for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of the ummah, remove them with your fazl and kindness. Remove the difficulties of mankind around the globe. Bless everyone with hidayah. Except all the works of deen that are taking place. The day of our departure, my beloved Allah, let it be in Madina Sharif. Bless us with Baryal in Baqi. If it is not Muqaddar there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Tamanna hai ke gulzare Madina ab watan hota. Waha ke gulshano mein koi apna bhi chaman hota. بسر اب زندگی اپنی دیار قدس میں ہوتی وہی جیتا وہی مرتا وہی گور و کفن Blessed with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. Protect us from all the fitnas that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked protection from. Protect the ummah. My beloved Allah, from all those fitnas. You are well aware of the good wishes and desires of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you. Fulfill their good wishes, good desires. And you are well aware of the difficulties, hardship and suffering of each and every individual. Remove the suffering, the difficulty, pain and problem. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.